North South Connection proudly presents TNA Never Dies. Now, cross the line with your hosts, Aaron, Jenny, and JT.
If you're wearing an American flag as an entire sweater, is that considered patriotic?
Of course.
Is it disrespectful in any way?
It's disrespectful to taste.
Sure.
That.
But like, if
but
someone.
But not to America.
But no one's gonna come up and hit you and say, "Don't do that to the USA."
They may, but they'd probably be unhinged.
Where is there a place on your body that you could wear such a sweater that would be offensive?
Well, I am currently wearing American flag pajama shorts, actually. So I feel like this is a targeted hit.
So, I'm not with you. I don't know these things are... It's like a psychic blast. Now, let me ask you something. Like, so you're wearing pajama shorts. Fine, right? Does it become disrespectful if you shift and it goes up your ass?
I mean, there's just no way around it. I feel like if you're designing these types of things, it's with the assumption that that's going to happen at some point.
So what you're saying is these designers are doing this so that people wipe their ass with the American flag.
No.
As long as they don't drop it on the floor, we're cool.
So are those shorts not allowed to go on the floor either?
Never. They never touch the floor.
The reason I bring this
up. Like, is this the It's Always Sunny podcast, Aaron? Because I feel like it's that kind of open.
I didn't mean it to be. I just wanted to bring up there's a guy with a U.S. flag shirt in the front row. Another sign that says TNA, totally nuke Al-Qaeda.
Yeah.
A very topical sign. Don West all decked out in blue. And tonight is Hollywood comes to Nashville. TNA wants West to hype everybody up before the show. All right? So he yells, Chris Rock is here. And I'm feeling kind of hyped. Then he says, Hermes Sadler is here.
All the stars.
You got to do that the other way around. Because I don't want to be going from like, yes to, ugh. I could go.
Well, you can't have Hermes in front of Chris.
You can, because Chris is the main event.
Yeah, you can build it up. Yeah, you can build it up.
I'd rather go, ugh, and then, oh. And then he goes, if that's not enough. Which sounds like an infomercial, but wait, there's more. They start talking about TNA wants to know who the KKK guy was from the week before that attacked Truth. We get a recap of that beating from last week, and then someone's whispering something at West. It's a very strange thing. Truth is storming out to the ring. TNA goes, "You talk about unscheduled." No one was talking about unscheduled. No one was talking about it.
That is quite the trope they fall into, huh? It's like, you talk about this, you talk about that.
I hate it.
Even though no one's ever talking about it.
Well, but you were talking about the schedule.
Well, talking about comedy, Don West says that Chris Rock is the funniest man in America. Now, I do find Chris Rock funny. Like, I think he's a legit great comedian. Is there any point in recent history where he would be considered the funniest man in America to you?
I think you might make a case when he released that the album with the famous
no
bit.
No Sex in the Champagne Room?
No, I think it's that one, but that's not the act I'm talking about. The tact that Michael Scott talks about.
Oh, yeah.
I think that one. Like, I remember that one being huge, so I think the case could have been made then.
Yeah, I think O2, I mean, he's doing Head of State is what we're doing tonight, right? So like that wasn't really exactly
right.
A blockbuster. Dogma would have been before this. I'm trying to think, like, what are the big – when was the one where he – is Head of State the one where he dies? He's like a comedian and he dies and, like, he comes back as the old white guy. Is that one? No, that's not that one.
No, Head of State is – there's got to be something to do with the president, right?
Yeah. There's one where he dies. Like, he gets hit by a car, but they take him. Like, God takes him before he gets hit by the car. So it's like a loophole that he didn't actually die. So he gets to come back to life, and he's like a white guy.
That's
you never saw that movie?
No.
It's
called Down to Earth.
Down to Earth, that's
it. Yeah, that's it.
It also stars Chaz Palminteri.
Yes. Yep. That is accurate. So he had a Bigger and Blacker album in 99. I don't know if that's No Sex. Hang on. I think Roll with the New is his big one. Yeah, Roll with the New. So that was 97. That's the one with what you're talking about.
So it's typical.
That has No Sex in the Champagne Room as well.
Right. this is typical for wrestling.
Toss salad. That was that one.
Right. Yeah.
That's his big one. So I would say, like, he was probably in the throes of Saturday Night Live still at that point, too.
97?
Yeah.
Maybe. Not in 02.
No, definitely not 02. I meant 97. Oh, no, actually, he left. All right, no, he left before that. Okay. 1990, he was there.
My God.
And, yeah.
Chris Rock is old, all right? He's old.
He is.
Funniest man.
That's good.
There's a sign that says, "The truth is Tracy Chapman." Jenny, what if you had to guess, what would you imagine Tracy Chapman smells like?
Roses.
I was going to say maybe that or a fast car.
That too.
Yeah, or maybe a reason to stay here. Truth is mad.
By the way, the other show he had that was big was Everyone Hates Chris, but that was after this.
It was 05, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, that was big. So I don't know. I'm off. I don't agree with Don on this one. I don't think he was the funniest man in America in
02. Who was the funniest man in America in 02?
Don't
say Dane Cook. If you say Dane Cook, I'm gonna punch. I'm gonna punch through something.
Still early for Dane Cook, I think. He was like 04, 05, I believe, were his like big years.
Yeah, I feel like there was like a lull of comedians.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of what were the big sitcoms in like that era.
Well,
that was like
Friends,
Seinfeld, pre-Office. Yeah, Friends, I guess. Matthew Perry maybe was the funniest man in America.
Matthew Perry.
No.
David Schwimmer. I don't know.
Comedian, the documentary about Jerry Seinfeld came out in 02.
Yeah, you could probably still say Jerry was maybe the funniest. Oh, Curb was going, so you could arguably Larry David is the funniest man in America.
I saw Jerry Seinfeld live, I think in either 02 or 03. And it was fucking incredible. Sorry, Andy. Fucking incredible.
I would go with Jerry Seinfeld, Larry David. Those would be my two, I think, in 02.
All right.
Kevin James? King of Queens running hot?
No.
No, thank you. All right, okay. So Truth is mad. He's mad at the crowd. He said, "You're booing me? You should be booing your damn football team." Then he shits all over the Grizzlies and the Titans. He's talking now about Team Derelict. And Tanay is in full filling every single breath of air on the show mode. Mm-hmm. Truth names like Six Pac and BG James, and Tanay's like, "That's the roster of Team Derelict." Like, it's just too much. Truth is yelling about the Hitman who's coming out to get him. Team Derelict, so stupid. I guess the Hitman is the KKK guy. He says the Hitman is a surprise partner for him tonight. He says the suntan Superman ain't having that shiz knit up in here. Just like your buddy Last Call Scott Hall, shake it, don't bake it. Now, at this point, I don't know if you guys picked up on this, because I was watching this like on a – oh, no, I think I did end up watching it on the app. Don West starts talking to someone off mic. Did you guys pick this up again?
Mm-hmm.
He starts saying like – and what I hear Don West saying is he's always getting in on someone all the time. Like, out of nowhere, he's always doing that. And it sounded – I'll be honest. It sounds like Scott Criscuolo a bit. Like, he's always doing that right now. Like, he cuts right in. And then Tanay goes – Tanay whispers, "Your mic is open." And Wes goes – Wes goes
– I don't think this is real. I think this was part of the show. I think he's supposed to be bitching to someone, like, shitting on Truth.
Oh, really?
Because, I feel like – yeah, I think so. Because Truth even calls him out. Like, then Wes, like, kind of stands up to him and – Truth calls him baseball card man and says, "Oh, you just sit there and bitch." Like, I think it was meant to be that, like, West has issue with Truth, and that's the way they went about it.
I'm sorry, but, like, on what planet does Don West get to have an issue with Truth? I'm just like, why does he get to cut a promo on him? That makes no sense to me.
Tennessee. Yeah.
Well, and before he even cuts the promo, he apologizes. "I'm sorry. Sorry, JR. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there." And then stops talking. Do you guys like my impression?
Why does Borash have a tux on? That's what I want to know. Is he like feel like he's like behind today and like needs to?
Today hooked him up. Deal.
Wes then.
Bojo, baby.
Wes starts cutting a promo on Truth, like Jenny said. Like, it makes no sense. And he goes, "It's ironic that the Truth, the guy who calls himself the Truth, isn't calling it like it is. Think about it." Then Wes accuses him of whining like a hurt dog. What when he says hurt dog, Jenny, is he channeling Jim Ross? But he just doesn't want to do – he doesn't want to do scalded dog, so he says hurt dog.
Butchered it.
Yeah.
No, I think he just fucked it up.
Then
did you guys catch the Saddam Hussein sign?
What did it say?
Saddam fears the truth. That felt like a little heavy-handed for a wrestling show.
You know, we got a lot of people. You know how we want to get Saddam? We should really just send the truth over there because he gets shit done.
Exactly. Or send Don fucking West.
Don West will fucking die in the desert of dehydration.
Yes, he would.
Like, that shirt, I'm sure, absorbs like all the heat in his body.
The rays of the sun.
West then demands that the guy in the truck show Truth attacking Six-Pac and BG James last week. And then Truth gets mad. He goes, you know what, baseball card man? You done messed up. He disrespected him. Don't talk when the champ talks. And then Truth threatens to Sammy Sosa his ass with a damn baseball bat if he wanted to. I've never seen anyone use Sammy Sosa as a verb. It's quite spectacular.
Unless it's bleaching your skin. I have heard that.
West, he calls West a pebble. Truth wants bigger players. He wants a member of Team Derelict. He'll take out all their white asses tonight. And right away, I don't know if you guys screamed fuck, but like I think I woke up my family when BG James came out.
And I'm doing a stupid rhyming.
Ugh.
Allow me to chime in, throw my dime in, while we drink our Coronas with a lime in.
No.
How much do we wish James had gotten coronavirus here?
Anything. I wish WWE actually had just given a push just so we would have to watch him here. He's terrible. I mean, his hair looks like slightly better because it's shorter, but it's still rough looking. Everything about him is rough.
Yeah. That he's cut his little beard too. It's just a little bit better. Then BJ accuses Truth of crying like a little girl, but he does it in this fucking dumbass accent.
Mm-hmm.
They're crying like a little girl. Like it doesn't have any context to anything. And he goes tonight.
Was he trying to do like the Hans and Franz voice or something? Like,
oh maybe.
Really, man? I think that's what he's going for.
The pump you up.
Oh my gosh.
And tonight, Truth, you have to learn a hard lesson. And that lesson is we don't live in a perfect world. Or do we, baby? And Jenny, Jenny, who appears?
That would be Mr. Perfect.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And the first thing Mr. Perfect says is, he goes, I was hired to come here and do a job.
I popped so hard for that.
Could he have phrased that in any other way?
No other reason.
Sounded like Steve Austin in ECW.
And he goes, I'm going to do it only like I can do it. You call yourself the truth? I don't like the truth. All right. I was kind of like relieved that he didn't go into any sort of racist tirade here.
Me too.
No, he's kind of known for it from the WCW stuff.
I know.
No Limit Soldier. So it would have been easy carryover for him. Yeah. I've fought some of you before. You know,
some of you people like before.
It's right there for him.
Then Six starts talking. He goes, we're going to do what your mama should have done a long time ago. You're going to get your ass kicked so bad, you're going to think your ass was messed up on drugs. Now, I don't know if that's technically a full sentence, but it sounded like terrible.
Yeah.
Before anything can happen, Jarrett and Lawler attack from behind. Jarrett's hair is fucking absurd. Like, it looks like it would fit right in on the Golden Girls. It's like a perfect perm. And like, Jenny, would it have ever occurred to you if you imagined a team with six Mr. Perfect and BG James, that BG James would be presented as the leader of this team?
No. Also, why is Six even in this? And Perfect.
He's so much better than this.
Yeah, like, why?
Perfect, but I liked his tights. They were cool looking, but my God, were they skin tight. Like, I don't know if he had them designed that way, or did he not realize how much weight he had bloated up to in between this, because they were like painted on his body at this point.
They are old. In the show that I'm doing now, I can't believe I'm doing a theater show. One of my characters, I decided to make a old school wrestler.
Ooh.
Yeah, he actually talks like Stu Hart too. I know it's fucking stupid.
Of course.
In a Shakespeare play, but I have a singlet and it's a bit snugger than it used to be 5 years ago. I feel like this is the exact same problem that Mr. Perfect is having. Trying to fucking.
Well, I hope you look better than he did, and we'll see it as it progresses here. But he does not look well.
No, he does not.
No.
I feel like the stretch of remember when I kept saying I can't believe how good some of these guys look coming in here.
Done.
Like I feel like that's ending now, and like people realize maybe that this kind of is what it is, and not like a big golden goose opportunity or something. Because
Right. Everyone
seems to be cycling down now in the stretch here.
He could have a hernia. Like that's what it looks like. Like, if it was like he has a hernia, I'd be like, oh, okay, that makes sense. Like, You couldn't get that fucking.
It's good to see the perfect package holds up, though.
Yes. Yes. In my suit, you can't see anything.
Oh.
Very small. Very small. All right. So, of course, James has to say this time the G stands for let's get it on right now. Then, so Lawler's out there. April comes out just to be abused by Lawler. Jarrett and James start. I guess it's a Lifetime in the Making part two. Mm-hmm. Perfect tags in, and Tanay, I feel like Tanay goes on a rampage here, just naming everything he could possibly name about Kurt Hennig's career. But I find it curious that he goes, he's a member of the Four Horsemen. Like, why why bring that up, JT?
And it was so brief. He was only at the Horsemen for like 3 weeks.
Well, it's like one of the worst betrayals in company in wrestling history.
Maybe he was trying to remind us that this could possibly happen. I mean, Hennig just looked—he looks jacked and super bloated and like fat at the same time. Like he's really—it's like he took a bunch of steroids and just like did like arms and that's it, and like did nothing else.
I keep seeing—I
mean, that's it because his arms are big, but the rest of him is just like he's got a huge gut. His face is super bloated,
fat.
Mm-hmm. It was actually—I love Kurt Hennig, but I found—and I loved him in WWF earlier this year. Like I feel like he didn't look this bad. He looked great at the Rumble and like around that time. But that plane ride from hell aged him like 3 years, apparently.
Oh, he almost dies.
He got off that plane and just looks fucking terrible. Like it was depressing to see him here, honestly.
Do you think his body didn't adjust to the difference in pressure from the plane?
Something happened on that plane because he came down and looks like a different human. Just doesn't look well at all. So I like it was cool that he showed up, but I was not excited because I thought he just looked. It was just depressing to look at him.
Yeah, I keep getting these like ads on Facebook, which is like, you know, most people have like 20 pounds of garbage in their colon and that could lead to bloating. And I'm like Kurt Hennig would be the poster boy for this right now. Also, I don't know why I'm getting these targeted ads. Like, there's no pictures of me.
They probably saw you in that fucking scene.
Nobody's seen it yet. Did one show. And I look all right. The kids only laughed slightly. All right. I will say that Perfect and Jarrett mess up a slap right at the beginning of the match, and it really made me scared for the rest of the match. Perfect, though, is still pretty fast in the ring, which is cool. Mm. I don't know what Lawler's doing. He's doing some sort of clown show. It's like he's trying to jump in the ring and falls, and he's sticking out his chin. It's all this fucking bullshit. And I don't understand why you bring Kurt Hennig in, right? And immediately he's like selling for Jarrett. Mm. Like for the whole team. Like he couldn't have just been the hot tag guy. Like, why does he have to take the beating?
You're already making him like immediately. I love Tanay impressing Don West too. He says that Hennig was Flair's executive consultant and Triple H's manager.
Yeah.
Again, he wasn't even Triple H. He was Hunter S. Helmsley, and that was for like a month too. West is like so impressed by this information. But yeah, Tanay really digging deep into a Perfect's career.
I feel like so Tanay finds out Perfect's coming, right? And then imagine right before it comes out, Perfect gets hurt. I'll wager that Tanay is fucking pissed off because of all the research he did. Like, he doesn't get to go on this rampage. Like,
you think he even researched it or he just knew it? It wouldn't shock me if he just knew it.
He just knew it, and he's just popping things out. There's a sign in the crowd that says, Lawler gave me herpes.
Gave me herpes.
But that's talking about Jerry, right?
Well.
Could be either. Apple doesn't fall far from the STD.
ST tree. So of the team of Truth, Jarrett and S3D. Lawler.
S3D. That was it. S3D.
We fucked it up. We're not good. We'll move along right now, JR. All right. Here we go. Of the three, Truth, Jarrett, and Lawler, West says, these are three guys the crowd loves to hate. And I feel like the only one they actually love to hate is Truth.
It's Truth, mm-hmm.
Like, if the other
they
two
hate,
went...
They hate to hate the other one.
Yeah, like if the other two went away and never came back, like, no one would be unhappy at all. Like, Road Dogg is wearing, like, a Sons of Anarchy cut as a costume. He's doing all his dancing bullshit. Truth does... He flips around into a punch. I love Truth. I like his spins on basic moves because he makes them look more deadly. I don't know. Jenny, JT, why don't you jump in here? Do Jarrett's pecs look like breasts to either of you?
Well, they
technically
are. Yeah,
I mean, that's a solid A cup.
What do you think his milk would taste like?
Piss.
Dr. Pepper.
That's why he always says, don't piss me off.
Don't piss me off. I'm going to lactate on your ass. Lawler's just doing all kinds of cheap heat. He's like spitting on the audience and stuff. And at this point of the match, it's not even that long. They've done the telegraphed back body drop spot 4 times in the match. And I feel like it's the only transition I'm already smashing things because I'm getting angry. I was smashing my couch watching this. I feel like it's the only transition anyone in the match knows. Like, they just keep doing the head down. Oh, too early. Six comes in. He kills Jarrett with kicks.
He looks awesome.
Yeah, he looks fantastic, as always. He jumps into the crotch kick when he tries to do the Bronco Buster. Truth then does a dance and then just goes for the two count. Jenny, when is Lawler going to get new pants that don't say sexy on them?
Never.
Yeah, never.
He's probably going to wear them in hell.
The last time we talked about Tanay being buried in his tux. Is he going to be buried in these pants?
Is he or has he?
We could probably check. Finally, Perfect gets the hot tag. Finally. And
we had 2 heat segments in this match. It was a double heat segment. Again, it wasn't even that long. But they progress quickly into the exhaustion phase.
Yeah. And then James and Jarrett fight to the back over a chair, which I'm like, oh, God. Like, this is going to go on. Lawler just punches Henning in the nuts. And I'm thinking, are there any rules in this match at all? Now Henning's selling for Lawler. And I'm thinking, what a great use of Curt Henning. Like, he's just selling nonstop.
Yep.
Well, maybe they brought him in. They're like, well, he's known for his bumping and telling. So let's immediately have him look like shit against fucking Brian Lawler.
Brian Lawler. Like, this is the guy who was, like, taking Hulk Hogan to the limit. And now he's selling for Brian Lawler. Six kills Truth with the X Factor. But Lawler pulls out the ref and clocks him. The KKK guy jumps in. And they're like, what's on his back? It says Mr. Wrestling 3. I guess that's going to be a thing. Henning Plex on Truth for the win. I am all for putting Perfect over, but I don't understand why Truth is jobbing again. JT, why did we have to job Truth here?
Well, I could tell you why, but I'm not going to get into it. But he, I mean, I think it's just the old theory of, you know, you kind of put over the top contender over the champion in a non-title situation to prep him, which is fine. If this hasn't happened a bunch of Truth already, you know what I mean? So just like, if this is the first time he had been pinned, it would have been unique. I'm also torn on having Henning in this position as like number one contender, top contender. Like, I guess if you're going to bring him in, just burn it and then move on.
Right.
It's better than assuming he's going to be around for a while. So I guess get the name value pop. And Truth is kind of on like a legend killer, like tour, something like, you know, Randy Orton eventually do with a little more success. The crowd is very into the Jerry's Kid chant tonight, by the way. The old Dirty F chant we used to hear from fans. Yeah, they are rampant on that one. It was fine. I mean, I thought the finisher spam into the finish was fine. And the match had some pretty good heat. Like, it was mainly carried by Six and Truth, of course. Not a surprise there. Jarrett was limited in ring time, which was a plus for this match. I thought Lawler, for much of the goofiness, was aggressive. The finish I found confusing. But I thought it was good to get this out of the way now. We've talked about this before, and I enjoy when they do this format. Get the Jarrett shit, like the main event, in quote stars, like whatever, name guys, that division, when they open the show with it. I know intuitively you think the X Division should open, which but you probably could open with the X Division, then do this in the middle, then close with the X, like AJ, Jerry Lynn level guys. I prefer it this way than when this stuff closes the show. I find that the show flows better when we get this out of the way early on.
Yeah, if only this was getting out of the way.
But in theory, like I don't mind when it's kind of early on if that would be it. But anyway, like as far as getting the crowd into it because of the names, like it works on that level too. So if you open the show with it and you kind of just get done with it, it's when the crowd would likely be the hottest. So a lot of words there, but 2¾ stars to Manus opener.
Jenny, how much would someone have to pay you to date Brian Lawler for a calendar year?
Oh, $100 million.
You wouldn't do You wouldn't do it for $99 million?
No.
Fuck you, you're lying.
Straight $100 million only.
A year is
That's opening. And also, what we're talking about with dating. Lots of questions is what I'm saying here, George.
I'm assuming dating everything is required.
Okay.
You got to support him and pretend you love him, too.
Fuck! That is so exhausting.
Maybe he's a great guy.
You really think so?
No. What'd you think of the match?
I'm, you know, pretty much there with JT. I didn't like it quite as much, 2.5 for me. But as usual, 6... is the highlight of this. And perfect, as much as I do enjoy seeing him, it is sad. You're right about that. I was initially very excited, and then when I saw him, quickly got concerned. So I wish they wouldn't mix the people that I like and care about with the people I don't like and I don't care about.
Right. So we could just block them out.
Yes.
And they won't be pulling anyone else down as a consequence.
Like, truth.
Speaking of pulling down, Mr. Perfect should never pull down the singlet like he does at the end of this match.
No.
I went too. I hated the match. I didn't hate it, but like too many back body drop spots. We go to Goldie in the back, and we just hear a pipe rolling down the stairs, and BG is just unconscious on the ground. And Goldilocks is going, Brian, are you okay? Are you okay? Brian, are you okay? But Jenny, should Goldilocks have been smiling the whole time?
Yes, and cackling.
Yeah.
Be happy. She doesn't have to see a wrestle again tonight.
Yeah.
Yes.
She's also our avatar.
So, yes.
And, like, if someone is clearly unconscious, do you just keep asking if they're okay?
And then she said it's nothing. She said nothing. Nothing.
Yeah, there's a pipe rolling down the stairs, okay. And he's not moving. It's like asking if JFK's okay. You all right, bud?
Like, nothing.
You okay over
nothing,
there?
Nothing doing.
I don't,
walk it off, buddy.
I don't want to criticize her, but, like, I think she's really good at, like, being fed up with her jog, but the acting here is a bit strange. We get Dancing Girls. We're looking at last week now. Jerry Lynn and AJ Styles. The promo is in slow motion and black and white. What's a bigger classic, this or Citizen Kane?
Citizen Kane, when Kane came out in full gear, and everyone else had suits on.
Business casual.
What? Okay, why did they do that to Kane?
I don't know. It was so weird.
And then why?
It was odd.
What else was odd? Why bring all those people out and no one
and
says
they just disappear?
Yeah, like what is happening? Hey, we got some guys here. All right, we'll see you later.
That was cool.
Yeah.
Way to go.
Why is Undertaker in character after we got the? You know what? We don't need to do all this. All right. A lot of problems with that. The music in the background here, like when in this promo, feels like it should be like the stage select screen for a racing game on PlayStation. It's like.
And then what? I can never tell if he's actually gone or if he's just...
I know, I can't either. Us.
Oh, damn it. Where did I cut out?
And then he went away.
I was singing the whole time.
Okay, we didn't hear any of it.
Missed it! Sing again.
Okay, don't sing again.
Every time you go away. It's a Thanksgiving thing, right?
Planes, trains, and automobiles.
You're like a chatty Cathy. I pull you up, and you're like, where were we? Right, Jerry Lynn comes out, and he's going to cut a promo. And I'll be honest, at this point, I took a break. I'm like, I can't do this right now. I stopped. I think I maybe took a 24-hour break. Lynn gets on the mic. He goes, you're trying to push the right buttons to piss me off?
Don't piss me off.
Well, you're being very successful. Then he calls out Sonny Siaki for next week. Obviously, immediately, wet-ass Sonny Siaki comes out.
He looks – he's getting himself into shape, though. Give him some credit. He's definitely getting a little ripped and slimmed down.
With all the bullshit on this show, I have no real issue with Sonny Siaki. Other than he's way too wet all the time.
Yeah, I don't mind him. I didn't like him too much at first, but then, like, I don't remember him being, like, I know he's around for a while, but, like, I just kind of remember him being one of those guys that, like, should have broke out but never did, et cetera, and I expected him to be, like, bland, but
right.
I'm with you. Like, I've actually have enjoyed him as well.
Yeah, he's good, and like, they focus on him, and he's, mm-hmm. He's got to be one of the only guys who's been on every show, too. Like,
yeah.
West, and then West is like, he's never backed down from anybody. Sonny gets on the mic. He goes, Jerry Lynn, you forgot one thing. Sonny Siaki is life. Sonny Siaki is why these people are here tonight. And then Tanay goes, he's one of the reasons for sure. Which, Jenny, if Sonny Siaki is life, how quickly does suicide occur for you?
Very quickly.
Quick, right?
Dude, even his eyes are like glistening with like tears or something. I don't know, it's like completely just.
You think he's been? You think he was crying in the back?
Yes, like his eyes are just like full.
Is
of,
he
like?
Is that sweat or water? Like, what is he doing? Is he just dumping a bucket of water on his head, like ice bucket challenge?
I'm under the assumption there's like a shower stall beside the entrance, and he's just like in and like he's getting in a pool at a hotel. You know, he's in and out. He goes, let's give the people what they want. If you want Sonny Siaki and Jerry Lynn, Jerry Lynn says this. If you want Sonny Siaki, no, Siaki says this. I don't know what's happening. If you want Sonny Siaki and Jerry Lynn, bring your ass up here right now. And then Jerry goes, for once, you're right about one thing. And then they fight on the ramp. West starts lecturing Lynn about controlling his emotions, which I thought was strange. He's got to control his emotions. God. The people chant, we want Styles. And then, so Siaki like pushes Lynn off the ramp into the guardrail, but it's like 2 feet off the ground. And West is like, they can't do this. JT, has West been watching the show with all the violence up to this point? Like, this is pretty tame.
I feel like West feels like he's like trapped in carbonite for weeks in between the shows and just released for the show. Has like no memory of what's happened before. But.
Yes. I love this theory.
Can someone please rescue me from the carbonite?
What killed me is the way they just, like, shamed him during the entire time. Yeah. Like, if this is his fault, he didn't control his emotion. I'm like, shut the fuck up!
Do you think West, on those, like, close-up shots, is, like, blinking Morse code for people to come and rescue him from the carbonite? You're right, Jenny. He shames him. And then West is like, he had one of the most important matches of his life later. And like, but he's wrestled AJ Styles on every pay-per-view for 15 weeks.
Yes, we've seen this match, friends.
Like, these guys have feuded for longer than Randy Orton and The Undertaker in 05. So like, and it's all played super seriously. So much so that the dancing girl has stopped dancing. And like, I'm kind of surprised no one's...
That was unsettling.
Yeah, because no one's screaming at her and like telling her she's not going to get paid for the night. She doesn't get the fuck back up there.
She's a slut or whatever.
They cut back to Don West at the table and he's trying to talk and there's a kid just fucking screaming in his ear. JT, how much money would you have paid to have Don West turn around and go, shut the fuck up?
I would have paid $100 million that Jenny got from Brian Lawler. I do like the callback. Tanay does say that it's the same knee that Jerry Lynn hurt during his WWF run.
Yeah.
Is the knee that gets stuck in the rail. And I thought this is a unique injury. It's not one you usually see the way they did it. So I like that. Like, it's something different. You don't usually see the guy get thrown off, his knee gets like ratcheted into the railing. So I thought that looked kind of cool. And they did a good job making it seem dire. And like, what does this mean for the X Division? You know, why are you taking the bait? Like, as much as like it was a little bit over the top of them berating him, I thought they at least got over the severity of this guy had a pre-existing knee injury. This knee injury has now been made worse by this nasty bump, and he had a big match tonight.
The only thing I will say that kind of undercut the severity, because you're right, he's like, that's the knee he hurt in WWF, right? But he says that's the knee he hurt in WWF, and he was out with full-blown knee surgery. What is half-blown knee surgery?
That's one knee.
Can you get half a blowjob? I don't know.
You can. It's just not satisfying at all.
Okay. Well, that's like half a knee surgery. You kind of just go halfway through and it doesn't fully alleviate the problem.
We'll sew you right back up and you won't come.
Makes it worse.
All right. Dr. Jeremy Borash. Dr. Jeremy Borash has decried it. He's like, it doesn't look good, guys. It doesn't look good.
Yeah.
The crowd.
Jerry Lynn's dead now, so.
Why is the crowd, Jenny, chanting TNA?
Because they're a rabid, insane people, this crowd tonight, France.
They're ECW arena wannabe.
Yeah, pretty much.
But, like, it was not a big spot. Like, it was, like, seriously, like, 2 feet. Like, when I was 12, I danced on a water fountain and fell down 2 feet and broke my foot.
Aww.
And it ruined my summer.
The sweetest story I've ever heard.
Yeah, you know, the worst part is like I was in so much pain. I was on the ground screaming and this woman came up and I thought she was going to help me. And she's just like, "You shouldn't be up there." Like I'm crying. I missed a school trip. I had a cast up to my hip. Ruined my summer. Earlier in the year I broke up my hand and everyone on the cast wrote break a leg and good luck and then I fucking broke a leg.
Fucking asshole.
I know. I know. They also strapped Jerry Lynn to the stretcher with what looks like the streamers from the Ring of Honor arena. Like, I don't know.
I was going to ask, why does he need the stream from like the crotch all the way across his shoulders?
It's like the strapping him in. It was like those giant swings at like an amusement park that like kids go on, like go up high in the air. So it was like that kind of buckle.
And it took 85 minutes to get him on the goddamn stretcher.
Yeah, it was so long. West says he's never heard a crowd so quiet, and clearly he wasn't paying attention during the BG James match earlier. And Tanae's like, this is a story we're going to have to stay on top of. And, like, it just they've wasted so long on this. Jenny, were you surprised the stretcher made it out the door without someone jumping on it and attacking
it? I was like, huh, that's disappointing. Because I think this show, although it's had, you know, some people that have irritated me, it's still lacking any, like, fun wackiness that I enjoy, right? All this wackiness is, like, sort of not great.
Yeah. Well, we cut away right away, and we're like, later, earlier in the day, Goldilocks was preparing for an interview with Six when he came by to explain his words to Low-Key. Six comes into Goldie and he says, hey, Goldie, sorry to interrupt. JT, how shocked was Goldilocks and you that someone was treating her with a modicum of respect?
I know. I was like, this is like the nicest man in TNA history.
I know.
I think it immediately elevated Six to the number one spot in my world, in the TNA world. He's,
yes.
He's great in the ring, and he was kind here. And also, beyond that, apologizes for some words that were misconstrued. So, like, that, all of it just makes him, like, the nicest guy in TNA. Just maybe next to Mike tonight. But even today's been more of a dick than Six at this point. So I thought it was really well done. And it felt like a passing of the torch, in a way. Like, kind of, hey, you know, I didn't mean what I said. I was in your shoes. Like, you're great. Like, it kind of felt like, you know, we know what kid was 10 years ago, and that could be Low-Key now.
Yeah.
Plus, he's wearing that sweet mesh shirt.
Did that shirt didn't upset you? I was going to ask you if that shirt upset you.
I don't know. He wore it pretty well.
Yeah, he looks good. He does look good.
He looks real good.
How much to date Six for a calendar year?
Ooh. Oh.
Jenny would pay for it. Never mind. How much did you get?
Well, you're paying for hepatitis.
$1.
$1.
Damn it.
Bot Key is like, I appreciate your words, Six Pack. But right away, AJ Styles interrupts. And Styles, because early.
Now.
I will tell you my feelings in my heart, Six Pack. I am a wrestler.
I've heard Matt Rotella deliver better lines.
Yeah, and he was playing a snowman at the time. So. Well, one thing that Six did say in the apology was that Low-Key was like his favorite wrestler, which I really liked. Like, I love the whole genuine thing, but Styles is pissed that he's not Six's favorite wrestler. And then, like, he kind of just starts talking and they leave. And then they have this cool little moment where, like, Six and Low-Key are there and they're like, fuck, what a jerk.
Fuck that guy.
Like, of all the stupidity on this show, like, this little reality-based interview really worked for me.
I liked it a lot. Yeah, it was a really good segment. It was different.
Yeah, we get some.
Also, I did get angry at AJ because I wanted to hear Low-Key talk more.
Why?
And because it sounds amazing.
When
does it?
When JT asked me to speak at his wedding, I asked myself, "Why me? Why?" That's if he had a voice box. That's Kane. That's my Kane impression.
I was burned in a fire.
So we're back into smooth jazz for the SATs coming out. Here come Harrison Storms. Tanae name drops Ashley Hudson from the week before, which makes me think it's all right. All right. I did it to Nikki today, and she laughed. She laughed. I've won her over. Nice handshake to start the match. Storm keeps bringing Joel down to the mat like he's going to put him in the Crippler crossface. He keeps doing that arm bar move down. And I was actually shocked that I identified Joel on the first try. So we're coming along here. Harris comes in, hits a terrible spear. It looks like he like hit him with the top of his head. Harris shoves Josie off the top rope and onto his brother onto the floor. Nice double team moves into a bulldog from Storm and Harris. Rolling Dominator by Joel. Tanae is like really trying to link this tag title to the old NWA tag title, which I thought was a bit of a stretch. Neckbreak moonsault combination kills James Storm dead, only gets two. Storm hits some sort of a twirling downward spiral. Harris comes in. He looks great with a spinning power slam. Joel hits a jumping DDT. Both guys go for the tag. Hot tag to Joel. He gets the better of Storm. Jenny, did you like Tanae's point about – and I'd like to get your take on this. He starts talking about how Storm and Harris are struggling with the Maximos because they've been constantly preparing for bigger guys.
I don't know how much constant preparation they've done in the 3 months that they've been in TNA, but I thought it was kind of a stupid point, honestly.
Really? I actually quite like the point.
I thought it was really good.
I'm surprised. Because you know how much I hate Tanae. And so for him,
Take anything with any level of like additional context or insight as to why a match is going the way it's going. So that's why I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I was okay with it. Joel jumps into a super kick, only gets two as Josie just sits on the mat and watches. JT, if you had to guess right now, who do you think TNA sees as the bigger star, Harris or Storm?
I think Harris, because Storm is presented as kind of goofier.
Right.
Harris is better, I think.
You think he's better at everything?
Yeah.
Maybe. He might be. Okay, now Joel or Jose Maximo, who's better?
That's a harder question because I can't tell them apart.
Yeah,
so. Maximo's better.
Harris catches Josie and nails him with the catatonic, which is a terrible pun. Next, they say it's perfect. Harris jumps, it goes to the top rope. The Maximos hit a double Spanish, go for the double Spanish fly. They catch Josie and hit him with their double team finish for the win. JT, was this a nice strong outing for the champions?
Les champions? Yes, I do think so. It was fun. It was a great pace and action. It's all smooth, really smooth for all four guys. It was cool seeing Harrison Storm hanging there with the SATs from a speed perspective too. Again, you know, like we had said, they're used to wrestling big guys. So we don't get to see them work at this pace as much. You're not getting that out of Brian Lee and Don Harris. So, or Ron Harris, whatever moron was in there. So I thought it was a big showing for the SATs. Harris and Storm really come together as a team. And you maybe seeing the division gain some steam finally now too. Versus just kind of piecemealing week to week. So I thought this was a fun outing. I enjoyed it. I think Harrison Storm is consistent. Tag champions navigating the division is good because everything else is kind of in flux across the company. That's kind of the one steadying force we've had the whole way through. So I went 3.25 stars on this.
Nice. Jenny, why do you hate the Maximos?
I do not hate the Maximos, sir. I love the Maximos. I gave it 3.25, too. I thought it was probably one of the best tag matches we've seen so far. Super fun. I like their double team moves, but they're a little mistimed a couple of times in this match. But other than that, I was very impressed with Harris. And I like the high-flying moves in combination with the power moves. 3.25 stars.
Are you singing again, Aaron?
I like the match, too. I win 3. Good, nice title, tag title defense. It's because I'm coughing and I don't want to cough to the mic. I'm sorry, I muted again. Sorry for everyone who's tuning into this for some professionalism. You're not going to find it here, all right?
Definitely not.
There's no time to celebrate with the champs because we're right into the dancing girls. And Goldie's in the ring. And it's kind of weird to see her there. And she goes, "Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Chris Rock!" And she does that nice extended Vince McMahon intro. As he comes
the funniest man in the world.
As he comes to the ring, Tanae's giving a history lesson like he's one of the wrestlers.
I love it. The full background.
Chris Rock was born in. how did they get this guy, JT? Is it just because he's filming the movie here?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They didn't do shit. It was definitely because he probably just needed a big crowd. There must be a wrestling scene in the movie, so they probably figured it was cheaper to go there than easier to go there than trying to get WWE. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think they didn't get him. I mean, I'm sure he.
Yeah.
I feel like he is a wrestling fan, though. Hasn't he been at other stuff? Like, I feel like he was at a WrestleMania and a couple other things. Like, I think he may be like a wrestling fan, so he might have just. This might have been on his radar, you know.
Did you believe him when he says TNA wrestling is the best wrestling in the world?
No,
not for 1 second.
No.
He follows up by saying, "If you think this is fake, come down here and get your ass kicked." And then he leaves. He is in the ring for 10 seconds. Jenny, what the hell was that?
That was so fucking weird, man. He should have done a set or something. I don't know. But it's like he knew that crowd don't like black people or something. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, that was it. Like, all that hype, he was literally there. His entrance and exit was longer than his time in the ring. And he's not The Undertaker. All right, who retired and it was stupid. We get this dumbass guitar music. It's Kid Cash, who I'm happy to see. Tony Mamaluk comes out, and I think he comes out to Apollo's music. Am I insane? That was Apollo's music, right?
Yeah, yeah, it is. I think Apollo's gone. So Tony Mamaluk is this may be like the Orient Express theme, or like there's a couple WCW themes that get passed around, like the Hollywood Blondes one. I wonder if that'll be this one now. Just anyone that's around will use it.
Right, but the Apollo is from Puerto Rico, right? That was his thing. He's from Puerto Rico.
Yep.
Whoa!
Puerto Rico.
Call back. but so he has the Santana music, but Tony Mamaluk is Italian.
He is. It's all in the Iberian Peninsula, though, so.
That's true. I guess it is. Puerto Rico is not anywhere near the Iberian Peninsula,
nope.
though.
Nope.
All right.
You know your geography, man.
Well, hey, man.
Well done, Carmen Sandiego.
Good for you.
I worked with a guy once. He was a super nice guy, but not smart. And we would always ask him questions. We asked him where India was, and he said in Africa, right? Mm. He's Indian. Right? And number two, we asked him where the Mediterranean Sea was. And he's like, up near Germany and Finland.
That's not good.
No, it was not good. He was also older. Like not, he asked this. I don't know if this is going to get a laugh or a gasp, but it was well received. He asked the Jewish girl in the cast. He goes, what is Auschwitz? Is that a Jewish holiday?
Awful. My God.
But he did. No one was mad because he was just.
Right, I didn't know. Yeah.
It was legitimate innocence. Like.
That is a sheltered boy.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Must be a big fan of Little Libraries.
Ace Steel comes out to some kind of monster music. And then I see Low Ki come out, and I'm like, oh, good, good. Oh, Low Ki's in the match. Low Ki is over. Low Ki should never be interviewed again, right, JT?
I know he gets Jenny fired up, but no, he should not probably talk nearly as much as maybe he has. I did enjoy the sign in the crowd, though, that said, hi, ex-wife, I'm on TV. Is that the first person on your mind you'd, did she say, like, you'll never be on TV? And like, what other reason would you have this sign other than it's like,
I left her because she didn't believe in me.
So I went to this, I sat through this shitty wrestling show.
But Chris Rock was there. That's her favorite comedian.
Yeah. The back
today
of the
also just. Today also says TNA has an open door policy, so there you go.
Woo!
Great. That's why we see these guys come in and out.
Open back door policy.
Ew. Well, the Dups haven't been around in a while, so there's right. No back door policy. It's gonna be an Iron Man match, and West is like, we're gonna have a hard time keeping score. What does he think is gonna happen in this match?
I think it's understood that they don't know how to fucking keep a score. So.
Well, we're gonna see. They have a lot of trouble keeping the fucking clock on the screen. Tanay has also invited Mortimer Plumtree, and Plumtree sounds like he should be calling a golf tournament. Like, his voice is, hey there, I'm out here scouting the competition, and I'm forming the Plumtree family. Like, it's, I've never heard, like, it's the voice I use for, like, the Berenstain Bears dad when I'm reading to my kids.
He's definitely, like, a end-level, like, bad guy. And not even, like, right. The boss. He's just, like, yeah. What's the Wilson Fisk
like
buddy
this.
There?
Yeah, yeah. Mr.
Fix guy, would you like to join the Plumtree family?
Yeah, it's like that guy that like handles his affairs. But he even says like, I was originally here for revenge, but the family thinks my talents are better used on the hottest thing today, the X Division.
So stupid. Do you want to see who these people are that are backing Mortimer Plumtree?
Well, it's his daddy. He says this is family, right? And so it comes from a lot of money, and this is they're trying to invest. So the X Division's the hottest. If you had money to invest in, maybe he's talking about Dixie Carter and her family.
Maybe.
That's the best.
Meanwhile, there's some sort of triple octopus happening in the ring. Cash almost breaks Ace Steel's neck with a Hurricane Rana. And Plumtree's like, I had some pleasure of sitting down with some of these talents to talk about their goals and what they are in TNA, and it behooves me to look into a possible investment. Like, he clearly doesn't know the audience at all. No one catches Mamaluk because he jumps to the floor. Cash and Low-Ki do a great spot where they just kind of jump at each other from either side of the ring, which I love. Mama Luke and Steel pin both those guys after that spot. They go up one win each. Low Key throws Mama Luke into Ace Steel for a suplex for two. I hadn't noticed the stripe down Kid Cash's pants until now. Jenny, does this add legitimacy to him, like some sort of a greasy policeman?
You mean the white band?
Yes.
On his waist? A greasy policeman band? Yes. That's automatically what it does.
Good, good. Cash hits the brainbuster on Mama Luke to get the pin. Cash then obliterates Mama Luke by just throwing a chair in his face.
Oh, that was gross. What a
douche. That was amazing.
Like, yeah, I thought Cash was being really careless in this match.
I thought he was being awesome in this match.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're not clearly not Tony Mama Luke or Mama Luke's family.
I am not. I don't give a fuck about him.
Oh my god. You don't care about the Iberian Peninsula?
Don't. Not
at all. Low Key transitions an air crash raid into an arm breaker, which looked great for a tap out. Now it's a four-way tie. There's a man in a full-blown suit in the front row. JT, what did this guy think he was coming to?
Maybe he was excited to show his ex-wife that he could be something on TV.
He was going to Undertaker's.
That Cash body slamming Mama Luke off the table to the floor was fucking insane. Like, I mean, that was just a wild. I mean, just a wild spot. And like Tony, I mean, his arm or shoulder looked pretty. Like, it was just nuts. Like, of all the crazy bumps we've seen, like, that's an all-timer. I was like, oh my god, what the fuck.
But it was an all-timer in like, why? Why did he do that to him?
Oh, yeah. It was completely unnecessary.
Yeah. Like he could have killed him right there. Like, what's Kid Cash's problem with Tony Mamaluke? Did he owe him some money? Or, like, what happened there? I've also now noticed extremely large pockets on the back of Kid Cash's pants. Jenny, does this hurt his legitimacy as an officer of the law to have these pockets?
No. Some men need deep pockets if they're in law enforcement.
I suppose you're right. Low Key is selling his knee like crazy. The time is – I don't know why they can't keep a time on the screen because it keeps dropping on and off. West is like screaming, what's the time? Like, you don't have it either? Why can no one keep the time on the screen? I feel like this is not a hard technology. Like,
well, not even if it's on the screen. Like, why could one of them start like a stopwatch or something? Like, it's just a straight 15-minute countdown. It's not like it's anything intense.
Like, when did scoreboards start going on the screen? In the 1950s? Yeah. Like, I know they like to reference television shows in that point, but can we get a little bit of the technology? I just don't understand. Like, I know it's a small thing, but, like, Steel is destroying Key's leg, and I'm praying Key's not going to start jumping around on it. And I notice here the cameramen are wearing the same shirts as Road Dogg that Road Dogg wears in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
Cash is standing on gets like a standing Styles Clash on Mama Luke, and I'm like, I'm so scared that Cash is just gonna break his neck here. Like, I don't know what his problem is, but he's clearly out to hurt him. Steel suplexes Cash, and Cash sells it like he's fucking Bon Jovi singing Living on a Prayer. Like, mm-hmm. Like, it's just, I don't know what he's doing. Key chops the life out of Cash on the floor. West is still yelling about time running out, but I can't see the clock. Now they put it up. There's 1 minute left. Okay, before we talk about the finish, how are we happy? What are we doing up to this point? How are we doing?
I like this match. I mean, it was nuts.
I like it too.
It was, I mean, just stupid, crazy, cool spot one after. I mean, yeah, it was reckless, but I mean, it's X Division. I mean, whatever. Fucking Steel, who for some reason for the life of me I could not remember that was that guy's name. His name and his face do not go together in my brain, so it would not compute. I'd just be like blonde guy. And anyway, so Steel looks insane, but he was like really impressive, I thought, in this match. Cash too for me. Sorry, Aaron.
It's fine. You can like whatever you like, Jenny. You can like
and,
what you like.
And then there's, like, between, like, this and the few matches that we've seen previously, I feel like this is the most, like, wrestling that we've seen in an episode altogether. You know, there's, like, very little filler. So it's, like, all awesome X Division wrestling is where this show should be at. And fuck all that other shit.
All killer.
Three stars.
All killer, yes. Is what you're saying. Especially if it's Kid Cash on Tony Mamaluke.
Yes.
All killer wrestling.
Why? Hold on. Why do you feel the need to apologize to me for liking something?
Because you didn't like it previously.
Oh no, I'm okay with the match.
Okay.
Yeah, we didn't even get to
his opinion is no more valid than yours, Jenny. No. So don't apologize.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. I just feel bad. I don't want you to think that like I'm being a dick. I'm not trying to be a dick to you.
I can see how Cash was being reckless, but I kind of didn't care, and that does kind of make me kind of a douche, but I liked it anyway.
Fair. Very fair.
I hope that's okay. I hope it's all right.
Me? Are you talking to me now?
Yeah, I hope you're okay with that.
I'm totally fine with it. I don't want anybody to feel self-conscious about anything.
Can I give my thoughts?
No, I don't. I don't.
Now I feel self-conscious.
Let's talk about the finish.
Okay, so as time is running out, Steel is like outside the ring, and they do the stupid Rick Rude warrior spot from WrestleMania 5 where Key goes to suplex him in. Plumchi runs to hold the leg. Immediately the time runs out, even though the ref is like counting one. The ref still counts three. The bell rings. They ring the bell. They ring the bell for the time. Then they ring the bell for the three. I don't understand what's happening.
Yeah, I didn't understand either. JT, what you got?
They definitely fucked up the finish. I mean, that's pretty clear. It's after the clock expires. Tanay even calls it out. He's like, well, timing was all fucked up, but the decision's done. And Plumtree apparently has his new protege and Steel. And it's a fun match. Early for sure. It sputtered down the end a little bit where it felt like they were trying to fill the time instead of building to a hot finish. And that's always an inherent problem in Iron Man matches. I think for this, they should have just done a straight four-way. They didn't need all the pins.
No.
I get it kind of put Loki in the suit for part of it, and that kind of made it interesting. But I would have been all right with them just going four-way, ball out. Don't feel like you have to fill 15 if it goes 12, whatever. Key gets hosed. We have a new X Division player. And I thought all four guys showed up, and I thought Kid Cash was the best in the match, as always, for me. I've always enjoyed him the most. Sure, he was reckless, but they kind of have designed this program to be that way. So I think he's just playing within the rules that they've established. So I went 3.5 stars.
Also, he took bumps, too. Like, as much as he gave them. You know, he took an awesome leg drop from Mama Luke once. So, I mean, he was showing out.
Hmm.
The finish was fucked up, though.
Yeah, for me, with the fucked up finish and Cash being reckless like that, like, I get what you guys are saying about the design. I just went 2.75 because I don't know. There was too much of me that felt uncomfortable watching it. But as we leave, so now, for some reason, the ref awards the match to Ace Steel. Armstrong's like, I didn't hear the bell. But since when has that ever mattered in wrestling?
Right.
And Plumtree is now managing Steel. Jenny, why does the TNA brass hate Ace Steel?
I don't know. See, like, now I'm, like, all confused because I thought he was sort of like a cannonball, like, sort of unpredictable, insane kind of guy, you know, just based on his look and what he did in the ring. And I don't know. I don't think I give a fuck about Plumtree. I want to stay the fuck off the X Division anyway.
Jesus,
I feel like they're looking at it like, and I can't say it's not deserved, that the X Division currently, the one thing maybe it's lacking is a little bit of, like, personality or clear divide outside of Lynn and AJ. But and honestly, for them, it's only because they've given them so much damn time. It's not like they stand out as sparkling personalities. We've just gotten time to know them. But nobody else really has the chops at this point to stand out as a character. So I can see why they felt like they needed to maybe inject, like, the heel manager role to add some level of personality into things and someone to talk in the division. I'm guessing that's their thought process.
Yeah, it makes sense. I mean, I think Sonny Siaki does a pretty good job of, like, carrying the personality of the division, but I could always see more but being
he's not really even in – he's kind of like
– he's French.
Wiener in the division. Yeah, he's not like he's not like one of the usuals in the division. He was more tag and then – you know, I picture the division as more as like these four guys, Lynn and AJ, as like and the SATs. It's kind of like the stalwarts.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, look, now Don West is in the ring, all right, and he's introducing us to, and it's fucking Hermes Sadler back.
No.
I don't know why they needed to bring this guy back. Don West is sweating a bathtub worth of liquid. His hair is soaked. Jimmy Corderas is in the front row too. Our guy looks exactly like that Greek guy. Now they start talking about NASCAR right away, Sadler and West, and right away someone interrupts, and Tanay is shocked that someone would interrupt. JT, should he be shocked by this?
No, he should have been shocked if nobody fucking showed up.
Yeah.
Hermie is a ditch the goatee, by the way. I don't know if that improved his look or not, but it's long gone. We also find out he's driving the TNA car in Charlotte this weekend. I didn't know TNA had a fucking car, but the race is on TNT. So. Saturday at 1.
But he's interrupted by Bruce, of all people. I think we've kind of we've had it with Bruce, right?
I'm done. I've had it with Bruce since like week 3, yes.
Well.
Ooh.
I'm always up for seeing Bruce. You know, I had said, you know, obviously just after that last match that we didn't have any nonsense, and here comes some fucking nonsense.
Yeah. I liked Bruce as part of the Rainbow Express. I thought that was awesome.
Yes.
Yeah, since then, good. It's been...
I have not liked the Miss TNA stuff at all.
No, it's hot garbage. Bruce calls Hermes sweet and says that you're standing in Miss TNA's Queen Court. I pause at this point because not out of anger. Jenny, were you at all worried about what type of words were going to come out of Sadler's mouth?
Yes, quite worried.
Yeah, I was like, oh no, like I'm getting ready to like, okay, how am I going to explain this? Bruce then picks back up. He says Sadler drives a go-kart for a living. And then Bruce says every time he sees Sadler, he's in the ring. That must mean he's a bad driver. Doesn't this just mean that Bruce doesn't watch NASCAR?
Don't you drive a go-kart for a living?
Yeah, right. Bruce says Hermie needs to decide if he's a wrestler or a driver. I wish that Hermie would decide to be dead.
Yes, please.
And like,
or just not involved in our lives. That's all. Okay.
I guess.
I'm fine with that.
Well, no, that's not far enough. I don't think.
I feel like I'd feel safer at night if that man was just right? in the grave. And if as if this segment can't get any worse.
No.
Here comes Jeff Jarrett. No music. Wait. He's wait. Like he's having he's Joe Biden having a stroke. Wait. He's pointing with two fingers, which I hate. He calls Hermie the love bug.
And that might be his best TNA contribution to date, honestly.
Maybe. And he's like,
it kind of works on the car level and the name. Yeah. I don't know. Like, yeah. I didn't mind it.
Yeah. I guess it's still a really
the bar is so low. It's so low for Jarrett.
It is.
It's a really dated reference though too.
Like, oh, I know.
Jarrett's like Hermie decide he's not you're like not you're not a wrestler or a driver. And the fact that I think it was the fact that you aren't a driver is what Jarrett has a problem with. Because he's mad. I'm trying to follow the logic of this. He's mad because they chose Hermie, who Jeff Jarrett thinks is a subpar driver, to drive the TNA car at the Super Bowl of NASCAR this Sunday.
Right.
And then he wants to know why they didn't get a real driver to drive the car. Isn't this because the real drivers have real sponsors?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, I mean, come on. Like, who else is driving it? And it's amazing TNA even has a car.
Yeah.
Right. And why do they also?
Hermie's really struggling in his retorts here. Yeah, this is all going downhill quickly.
Oh, yeah.
When Jarrett's the master of the mic with everyone involved, you know you're in trouble.
Bad trouble.
Yeah, Jarrett starts name-dropping NASCAR drivers. He goes, there are two facts of life. You suck as a wrestler, and you suck as a driver. Like, but then Sadler makes fun of – like, he is struggling. You're right. He makes fun of Jarrett not having gold around his waist. Then Sadler goes, I come on this show to help promote NWA TNA. But that's not how promoting something works. Like,
you don't go on the show to promote it.
No, like, I wouldn't go on the Ruthlessly Aggressive podcast to promote the Ruthlessly Aggressive podcast. You don't promote the show you're on.
You don't understand. Just his presence means that he's promoting the show.
Not for me. I wouldn't tune in if he was on the show. Like, if I had a choice. But I have no choice.
I was kind of there for Jarrett roasting Hermie just because I hate Hermie that much.
I know. It's like you're choosing the lesser of two evils between these two. Hermie goes, I don't respect you, Jarrett. And Jarrett looks outraged. But like, why is Jarrett outraged? He doesn't like him either.
How dare you?
And then Sadler's like, I want to know if Bruce is going to grow up to be a man or a woman.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, which, you know, of all the things he could have said, it's far from the worst.
True.
Far from the worst. Bruce then runs in and attacks and... Jeff Jarrett comes out from behind, and then, of course, the segment gets even worse. When BGG... Why? Why, Jenny? Why is this happening?
Just torture. I mean, it's torture awful. At this point.
JT, have you ever seen a segment that, like, you can't think gets worse, but then every subsequent person that comes out makes it... takes it to a new level of shit?
Yeah.
It's amazing. It's amazing how they kept tripling down on how awful it is. And then it's to cap it all off, you get James still trying to get this stupid fucking get it, got a good catchphrase over that literally no one cares about.
No. Number one, James cleans house. We've already seen James fight Jarrett tonight. We've already seen it today. Then James gets on the mic. He goes, in the immortal words of Karen Carpenter, there's no way she approved her using her lines, right?
Definitely not.
Unlikely.
And then imagine all the things we talked about him. This is the dumbest says. He goes, he calls himself Busy to the Jizzy. Jenny, he's calling himself Jizz. Could you ever imagine?
He was Jizz.
Do you imagine a wrestler would call themselves Jizz?
Jizz is better than him.
Imagine you pay for this show with your son, and you have to explain to your son why this guy's calling himself Jizz? He dyes his hair. It looks like Jizz, all right? Like
Jizzy Albino. I think that's my new name.
Why would he call himself Jizz? Then James checks on Sadler as though they're friends. I can't do this. I can't do this anymore. Ron Harris is out next. Do we need to talk about how terrible this was?
So you got Harris is still looking for a partner, right? So that's just
move
thing
on. I meant the segment, but we can move right on for 10
hours.
I
think you meant the match. You want to skip the whole match?
No, the match, whatever.
Yeah, I got nothing else on the segment.
No, the segment is no.
He's calling himself Jizz. Harris is out. Big Ron Harris is teaming with Sonny Siaki. Fuck Ron Harris, man. I'll be honest. From this point on, I was just so angry that I there was nothing left. Fuck Ron Harris. Fuck Sonny Siaki's dead eyes. Okay. Chris and Rick Michaels are fighting them. Who looks like fat Shane Douglas and skinny Hugh Morris. There's not one mention of Brian Lee ever. And he's been a big part of Ron Harris.
Right.
Yep.
Siaki hits a sweet neck breaker.
Where's Ashley Hudson? All right. It's just gone.
All right. it's not going to make me any happier. Tanay goes off on how Chris Michaels has been in the business for 14 years. If you've been in the business for 14 years and you're a jobber team in TNA, you should probably just kill yourself. All right. Rick Michaels has a giant spider web tattoo on his arm and a giant Jesus cross. Siaki drops him on the corner of the steps with no regard for his safety. JT, what did we do to deserve this?
I don't know.
We killed kittens, I think.
I didn't kill anything.
I don't know.
We were a nice Ashley Hudson. This is what we get.
Yeah.
Pentagon. Maybe I do deserve it. I did this. I did this. Let me tell you about something else I did. So my wife was like, I want to say 7 months pregnant. Okay. And we had two chairs at varying positions in the kitchen. And so she was talking to me and she was sitting down. And then I moved to get something. And I realized that when I moved, she changed chairs out of a courtesy, to continue the conversation. So I spent the rest of the 25-minute conversation changing positions just to get her to move. And she moved every time.
What a saint.
Can I say something? I hate
Ron. I want to just walk the fuck out of the room.
She should have walked the fuck out of my life. That's what she should have done. She's so wonderful. She's the best. You know what's not wonderful? I hate Ron. I hate Ron Harris's body. I fucking hate his body. He looks like a blocky Minecraft character. His shoulders are square and rectangle. His arms look longer than his they should be. I'm okay with
that's jealousy. That's all that is.
Well, right. Look, it's not jealousy. I'm okay with Sonny Siaki's body. All right. Mm-hmm. All right.
All right.
Siaki's throwing rock-like punches.
I feel bad for Siaki that he got pulled into this. I feel like he's kind of grown out of this.
Yeah.
It's weird.
He's
better than this. Siaki does something and Tanay calls it the double shot. Is his gimmick that he's a bartender? He's got the double shot, the money clip. also, why is Ron Harris not teaming with Don Harris?
Don's a security.
They're gonna feud later. They're gonna
Don's retired.
I never wanted a show to end more than this one. Siaki hits a Samoan pop, which he calls it. And he's got one of the Michaels down for the pin, but Harris picks him up and won't let him win. I don't know why. He won't let his own teammate win. So they pick up Michaels to do the big boot. But the kid moves right away, and there's so much time for Siaki to get out of the way, but Harris still hits him by mistake. And once again, instead of doing anything about it, Harris just stands there pissed off. Like he
just looks at it.
All he has to do is take one step and push Michaels off Siaki. Why can't he take one step? Why can't he give up?
Because he's so raging so bad, he can't do anything about it.
After being knocked out, Siaki jumps right up like he's John Cena being pinned by like a young up and comer. Like if he could get right up like that, why couldn't he kick out? Now Harris is yelling at Siaki, JT, why can't he take one step to help his tag team partner?
It's just like you need a kid like knock something over or break something or is like an asshole and you want to clean it up but you can't help because you're so filled with rage in that moment that you just like. You just want him to suffer, you know?
But he's not.
Wow, that was personal.
He doesn't look enraged, though. He just looks annoyed.
Yeah, he's so pissed off. He's just like, fuck, again? I got another useless partner? He sucks, though. Harris is the fucking worst. And it made Siaki look stupid, too.
Yeah.
Like I said, he should be outside this nonsense. Should not be in the middle of this, getting dragged in as the partner of the week for the Nazi man. The Michaels boys now get a title shot next week. So, I mean, Harris really blew it in this one. And then he bitched out Siaki. And I was glad to see Siaki slug him down until stupid Heavy D came out.
Yeah.
Don West did not like Heavy D getting involved. It was fine. It's just hard to care about Harris. Like, the match was just basic. I went 2.5 until the finish. But it's like, oh, God. Like, this is a story we have to be invested in. Fucking Ron Harris's search for a tag partner. Like, it's just such a story I cannot imagine caring about in any way.
Which has one conclusion. Your fucking twin brother who's on the roster.
We got to reform the Bruise Brothers is what we got to do, Aaron George.
Jenny, can we end this?
No. We have to see the Harris Brothers reunite to ejaculate again together, all right?
They're already doing that backstage.
That's true. Don't worry.
I
went 2.25 on it.
Yeah. I went 2. Whatever. Fuck this. Yeah. Fuck this show.
Yeah, fuck it.
Yeah, West is so pissed off. He's like, did Heavy D only defend his brother? I'm like, I can't.
He's supposed to be a partisan security man.
God damn it. God damn it.
Shared a womb or something.
Non-partisan.
So then an authority figure comes out. I'm so angry I can't figure out who it is at first. And they're talking about the legal options regarding the X Division title match. And they're going to make it Ace Steel versus AJ for the X title in a ladder to match. But then Low-Key jumps out. It's Bill Barons, by the way. I figured it out at this point. And, like, it's Ace Steel and AJ. Are there no other guys on this night that they keep using the same people? Like, in every...
It's very thin. We've seen some nights where they've had, like, a pretty filled-up roster. But we've also seen nights like this where it's a very thinned-out roster. So they're definitely struggling to fill the time.
Yeah. Low-Key's pissed. He's like, I'm surprised that a computer nerd helped Ace Steel win. Like, you know what? He sounds like Shaq. Like a smaller Shaq with like a slightly not as deep voice. And when he's like a computer nerd helped Ace Steel. Tenay's like, he's talking about Mortimer Plumtree. We just saw it. Nobody's tuning into a 90-minute show, a 120-minute show, 90 minutes in. Plumtree's out. He wants Low-Key to shut your yap trap. Like... Plumtree.
Key impression is killing me.
Plumtree also has like ejaculate hair. Plumtree calls him a bunch of P words and then compares him to Yul Brynner. Like, I smashed my phone when I looked up Yul Brynner. He's been dead for 17 years at this point. Then Plumtree name drops Tammy Sitch and how Tommy, like, it's just all over the place. We're talking about Yul Brynner. We're talking about Tammy Sitch and how Low-Key picked a fight with her.
I think you meant the Yul Brynner from Cool Runnings because that's that character's name in that movie.
No, not that guy. God damn it. The Pharaoh from the King and I, all of that. The bald motherfucker who, like, he could be any ethnicity.
Yul Brynner just wanted to live at Buckingham Palace.
Imagining your rage when you look that up.
I was like, never be nothing, Sanka.
So let it be written. So let it be done. It's that guy. I was like, did he die recently? No, 17 years. 17 years beforehand. Anyway, what's he talking about with fighting Tammy Sitch?
I don't know.
JT?
Yeah, he just says, made an ass of himself picking a fight with Timmy Sitch. It's what kind of man picks a fight with a woman. It must have been like some big indie story. Maybe Loki and her get to an argument on an indie show. It had to be something like that.
Look, and then they start calling Plumtree a nerd. Can I just say, Tanay's got a lot of balls calling Mortimer Plumtree a nerd. Like, considering he's the definition of nerd.
Hang on. WrestlingNews8.tripod.com. Indie star Low-Key, who recently has turned heads in NWA TNA's X Division, and former WWE standout Tammy Lynn Sitch was said to be involved in a fight backstage at USA Pro Wrestling this past weekend. The two apparently were arguing over a chair, which Low-Key took, despite the fact that Sitch had been using it backstage. I've had different reports on who started the fight and who hit who, but Chris Candido was apparently present for the verbal confrontation, but not for the actual fight because he walked off. Sounds about right. Thanks to a BJ Bethel for writing that article back in 2002. So.
You could transpose those names and it's like a fight in kindergarten. I had this chair first. No, I have it now.
And given the size of everyone involved, it could have been kindergarten.
Ew. Low-Key calls Plumtree an outsider looking in, and this is Bullet Barb. Then Bullet Barb, it might as well be Bullet Barb. Bullet Bob storms out, and
Trolls?
He's like,
"Is that her name?
This isn't the Phil Donahue show. This is professional. This isn't professional talking. It's professional wrestling." Key and Steele now will go on later to wrestle, and then Tanae's like, "Yeah, that's how we settle it." Steele then attacks Low-Key's knee, and then like. He's beating the shit out of his knee, and Tanay's like, look, he's going right after the injured ankle of Low-Key. Fucking nerd Tanay can't even tell the difference between an ankle and a knee. But Key is, like, cool chopping his way out of this. Tanay's like, Key is fighting for his life. What is threatening Key's life here, JT? Is it a broken leg?
Yeah, I mean, he could get infected, could get gangrene.
Staph infection.
A blood clot.
Plumtree then hits Key with a chair on the outside. Bullet, I wrote by accident Bullet Boba, but that's good a name. Bullet Boba and Barons are out to protest this injustice. And I'm like, this is the third time in the past 25 minutes I've hit something. Because the announcers are saying it's a count-out win for Steele. Then Barons and Armstrong and Plumtree, they're marching around like clowns around the ring. They go over to Mike Tanay and start yelling at him. Tanay is like, what's going on? Why is... Of all the things we've seen on this show, why is this the only injustice that anyone is overturning?
Because Key cry, I don't know. Plus systemic racism against Mortimer Plumtree.
Ace Steel screams, "What's going on?" And Bob goes, "If you guys want chaos, I'm going to give you chaos." Every X Division is in the company is allowed to be in the ladder match. West is like, "That's how you settle things." So it's gonna be Styles versus the Maximos versus Mama Luke versus Cash versus Steel in a 6-man ladder match.
It's so funny to me how all we ever hear about is how hot the X Division is. You know, like Tanay talks about it nonstop about how everybody loves X Division, and then Bullet Bob comes out and says X Division nothing but a big old headache, and y'all can just fight it out.
Yeah, right.
Like no care whatsoever given to it.
It's chaos upon chaos upon chaos. Tanay goes, the only thing they could do was do this match. That's like, the only thing?
No. What would we rather see here?
I'd rather turn it off. AJ Styles drop kicks a Maximo out of the air, misses by a mile. And like, this is my problem with all these shows. By the end of the shows, I'm so angry and worked up that I can't even enjoy these clusterfucks. Like, I can't sleep. I lay awake at night looking at the ceiling. Right. Like, I'm furious. I'm hungry. Like, when did they put the title up there too? Has it been up there all night?
I think it has.
Yeah.
I think
it has. And I just realized, like, as I'm taking these notes, I realize I'm gritting my teeth. Like, my jaw is super tight. Jenny, have you ever gaslit anyone?
Yeah, I sure have.
Good. JT, is this a good match?
Yeah, I think so. I rated it as a good match.
I did too.
Anyway, we got a ref bump in a ladder match. We got a ladder to the penis. Kid Cash knocks Steel and Mom Luke off a ladder. It's just disgusting the way they fall. West is like, somebody's going to get killed tonight. I hope, like, and then, like, someone takes control. I think it's Styles. I'm like, I'm hoping he kind of hurts Cash because he's been so reckless. AJ powerbombs Ace Steel onto the ladder, which must have taken a year off Steel's life. Styles kills everyone, sets up the ladder, and then Six Pack comes out, climbs the ladder, and gets a title.
Yeah, that bump that Maximo takes off the ladder into a split was fucking crazy.
Oh my god,
yeah.
Yes.
Looks like he just destroyed his groin. Cash's was nuts too. Like, there's a lot of crazy bumps in this. I don't know, I thought this was fun. It was a wild fuck fest. I liked the insane bumping, real car crash madness. The crowd was into it. And I like the finish as a payoff to early with Six and AJ kind of going at it. And Six costs him here, and it counts because he's able to come into the match. Everyone got their shine. And the X Division is, you know, much better closing the shows than the old dudes, as we've seen. So I went 3 3/4. I mean, I like this a lot. It was some crazy bumping. It was a real fun ladder match for me. JT, now we find out the Six and AJ will get a ladder match next week.
JT, Jenny, do you think this is good for the division for Six Pack to win?
Well, yeah, I think the other guys can chase Six for a little bit. I think that's good. It was real sneaky the way he did it. I popped for just outplaying everybody and being smarter than everybody, which makes sense here. So, but I really did like this match.
The only thing you could say is that maybe like he's been kind of straight up and kind of a decent guy. So is it that are they just inconsistent in his character? Is it okay because he's fucking AJ? Or is it that like he's kind of torn in like a little bit of his old ways, even though he's trying to be kind of the nice guy veteran? But
yeah,
like
he
still
can help it. Like,
him, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, like it was right there, right? Like, why not do it?
Yeah, I like the choice. Whatever.
I like the spots where they ride the ladders, which they did that several times, like just knocking it on somebody and just riding it all the way down. Fucking awesome. All of my notes were just like, oh shit, oh fuck. Just insane spot on the ladder. So awesome.
Yeah,
yeah, I know. You were, you know,
just too upset. I'm just too upset. Were either of you surprised there was no post-match beatdown after this?
Yeah,
yeah,
I was.
They ran out of time.
West is screaming about next week. Six versus Styles in a ladder match. I don't know why they're doing another ladder match. Harrison Storm versus the Michaels. And then the last time I punched something, which was my couch, James versus Jarrett. That's the end of the show. Shall we talk about what happened?
Let's do
Yes.
it.
Here's all the things that happened. Patriotism. A hard sell once we've already bought the show. You talk about unscheduled. Call it casual acknowledgement of a real alcohol problem. Don West shooting on an intern. Don West promo on the truth. Sammy Sosoing somebody. BG Poet. A major debut. Golden Girls hair. Spousal abuse. Spitting on the audience. Back body drops. The goddamn KKK. A perfect gut. Backstage pipe beating. Jerry Lynn promo. Ramp fight. Injury angle. Half-blown knee surgery. Somebody treating Goldie with respect. An apology. Tag team title match. 10-second celebrity appearance. A bunch of returns. Guest commentator. Big boss cash. Inconsistent clocks. Cameraman dressing like he's the top face in the company. A botched finish. Authority. NASCAR guy comes back. A promo interrupted. Hermie the love bug. A Karen Carpenter reference. Cum dog. Dead inside Sonny Siaki. Heels miscommunication. After the match brawl. The legality of the X Division. A Yul Brynner reference. More authority. Loki dying of a broken leg. More authority. Selective justice served. Everybody in the pool. A ref bump in the ladder match. A penis ladder. And a guy not in the match winning the championship.
49, which I think is the record.
Also, we forgot sodomy. So I think it should be 50.
50.
Wait, who got sodomized?
Actually, you slip it in every – yes, that. But you slip it in every show that sodomy is in the things that happen. So.
I think it's because Road Dogg didn't wrestle him. Did he wrestle?
No. Oh, yeah, he did in the opener.
Did he do the pump handle slam?
I'm sure he did. He only knows three moves.
How did I miss that?
Let's go 50. We'll call it 50.
Sure, 50. Sorry, guys. I let everybody down on that one. Jenny, what was your best segment?
So it's got to be Truth, I guess. Or I guess we could do Loki and Six. Yeah, we'll go with that.
I went with the Loki steel post-match. I didn't mind it. I know you kind of shit all over it, and we moved through it pretty quick. But I thought it picked up as it went, and it just gave some different guys focus, which was cool. Getting some time like that, as annoying as Bullet Bob and Billy Boy Barons were, I didn't mind it.
My favorite segment was when I watched an episode of Star Wars Clone Wars after. And it just brought me down. My worst segment was the whole Hermes Sadler, which it just outright broke me. I think we're all in agreement.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Who do you want to see more of?
Cash. Steel.
Yeah. I want six Cash, unique gimmicks, and ballsy Don West.
I want to see more of my kids. What do you want to see less of?
See my kids.
Hermie.
Oh, no.
Just kidding.
Kids. Hermie, Bruce, and Cash getting hurt. I don't want him to get hurt.
Yes. Hermie. The only answer.
I want to see less of TNA. All right. 2002 JT would have liked what on this show?
Mr. Perfect.
Yeah.
Well, I was so hot on him in WDF earlier in the year, I would have been probably excited to see him pop up again.
Jenna.
Jenna. Six's mesh shirt.
Oh, fair enough. Me, nothing. Someone hit me with a wild card.
Is Chris Rock the funniest man alive in America?
Any imposters to speak of?
Cocky Rocky Siaki, and Ace Steel as 1998 Bob Holly.
All right. All right. All right. Appearance tracker. What are we looking at?
All right. Which episode is this? 16. We got Kurt Hennig, Chris Rock, Rick, and Chris Michaels.
Very nice.
What a weird list.
I know. So guys, was it worth it?
Yeah, it's funny because I feel like we sit here and you dictated the tone of this being a bad show. But I didn't think it was that bad, actually. I think that, like, Jarrett was kind of limited, and I didn't mind him shitting on Hermie. So, like I usually dock for Jarrett, but that one kind of washed. We kept the James stuff pretty much no minimum after the start. A lot of X Division focus. We had Harrison Storm out there. We get to see the funniest man in America, so that was big. Mm-hmm. I went 6.5 overall. And, to me, that would make it worth it. So I didn't hate it as much as you did.
I also didn't hate it as much. It wasn't as hard to get through, I feel like, as some of the others are. And I think it's, like I said, because they actually do, like, more actual wrestling in this show than bullshit, you know, promos or segments. So I went 6.5 as well.
I went 0. Can we power? Let's power rank these
guys.
You're
real grumpy.
It's not. I really had a hard time getting into the show, and then that Sandler, like that whole segment, just was like, I just want to let you know. I just got a text message from my wife who's putting the children to bed. Is there any way you can stop screaming so fucking loud?
I mean, do you hate the podcast, Aaron? Do you want to quit?
No, I love the podcast. I love the podcast.
You sure? Yeah. It'll make you suffer.
Okay. No.
All right, so.
Yeah, I feel bad.
I'm not going to say I feel bad, but...
You should. I'm your friend. Why would you not feel bad?
All right. Here's what we had last time for our top 10. The Truth, Jerry Lynn, AJ Styles, Low-Key, Six, Sonny Siaki, Kid Cash, Harrison Storm, Amazing Red, and Goldilocks. So I'm okay with Truth at 1, but I feel like I want to move Six up to 2.
I'm good with that.
Yes.
I feel like Lynn and Styles took a little step back this episode.
Yes.
Yeah.
Would you want to put Key 3?
Yes, and then put Styles
Cash.
4. Oh, you want to talk about Cash?
Well, I would do Styles above Cash, though, I think.
But what about above Lynn?
Yeah, I put Lynn next. I mean, I don't want to get too slavish to the moment on these. You know what I mean? Like, Lynn's been one of our MVPs like every week. So just because he has and he still was pretty good here. Like the knee injury thing looked good. I think I'd keep Siaki and Cash in that order, too. I think Siaki's been pretty good. I'd move him higher if the other guys ahead of him weren't.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Harrison Storm are good there, too.
Yeah, they're fine there, too. And I like Goldilocks in the 10th spot, unless you want to swap it with Don West. I kind of like using the 10th as, like, something different.
If he wasn't so bloated, I'd say perfect.
Yeah. I don't know.
It was cool to see him, you know? But
I know. He just wasn't that good.
No, you are right. Goldilocks wasn't big on this show.
All right, let's put Don West at 10. You guys okay with that?
I'm fine with
it. We need a 9 still.
Oh, we still need a 9? God damn it.
We had Red there.
Can we put SAT's 9?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, let's do that.
That's a good call.
We had Red there, but we'll swap there.
Yeah, we'll swap.
Okay. All right. So pretty much the same as last time. A little bit of movement. Six climbing the ladder. And Don West in for Goldie.
JT, tell us
what's going on. Weird show.
Tell us what's going on at North South Connection.
When am I going to do it?
Because listen, I talked for the whole time.
Every other Tuesday with this show, we have the Ruthlessly Aggressive podcast, Jake Williams, matriculating through 2002. Just had a really good episode on King of the Ring. And I love the Summer of 02 and 03. I think it's really cool. It's got this blend of new faces, young faces, and still a lot of star power. And there's two good pay-per-views in there in Vengeance and SummerSlam. So a lot of cool stuff to cover as you go through. Aaron, you do a bang-up job on Mondays with The Year That Was. Every other Monday, you just dropped 2005 recently, and you're pretty much almost at the midway point. So that is cool, too. On Sundays, you get Second Print Comics. That's Remso and Mark Claire. It's our kind of just like, you know, topical, mix it up, chop it up comic show. Different topic every time. It's, you know, if you're an old comics fan, new comics fan, it's a good listen, easy listen, smooth listen. You know, three of the four Saturdays a month, you get No Holds Barred, Aaron. That's you and I, usually a list-based show. Do some live watches here and there as well. Recently dropped our November pay-per-view ranks, so you can check that out as well. What else we got going on? And I just debuted something else on Saturdays. It's JT's Mailbag. So our first one dropped a couple weeks ago, and that'll be at you once a month. So on the Place to Be Facebook page, you can go in there and leave questions for my Mailbag podcast. Friday's our Pop Culture Day. You get Shrink Wrapped, Jenny, it's you, Sean Kidd, and Tim Capel. Psychological look at superheroes. That alternates with the Gang Gets an Always Sunny podcast. Myself, Aaron, and Josh Richard. God, Aaron, we're on a lot of things. And Josh Richard are recapping and reliving It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia chronologically. And on the fourth Friday month, you get Rank and File, to our bracket-based show with Jordan Duncan, sometimes you, Aaron, and his buddy Eric. A recent one looked at Thanksgiving foods. I'm sure December's will probably be something holiday-related, knowing Jordan. Finally, Thursdays, you rotate with Wrestling Warzone, myself and Chad going through the Monday Night Wars. We just got through the debut of Scott Hall on Nitro. We're headed toward Great American Bash, WCW, and King of the Ring and Dirty F, so lots going on there. And that alternates with Jenny, myself, and D'Amato, the Extreme Three-Way Dance, going through the history of ECW, getting toward the tail end of 1995 with lots of awesome stuff happening there. And, of course, weekly you get This Week in the NFL with the Cowboys, John D'Amato, and Ryder as well, breaking down the week in football. You can subscribe on any podcatcher app. You can find us at facebook.com/NorthSouthConnection. I'm at JT the Pod Guy on Twitter. Aaron's at Aaron D. George. Jenny's at Jenny Position. And I mentioned before, if you go to Facebook and search The Place to Be or just reach out to us on social media, we have a really cool chat forum page. It's a group page. A lot of good topics and discussion. We often put up threads for feedback on podcasts. Lots going on there that you can check out and listen to. So that's it. Everything going on here at the North South Connection.
Sorry I got so worked up.
It's okay. We understand.
It's not okay, but it's okay.